news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show.
The world famous What Are You Reading Comic Book Show.
We are international!
Okay, you messed it up. Now what? The show's over. You done killed the vibe for tonight.
What? Fuck you.
See, you've been saying that word to me now. This is the second time you said it to me today. Okay. You are hurting my feelings.
No, it's not. The first time was an accident.
Well, you shouldn't say it. Take that out of your vocabulary.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can. Anyway, this is the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. We're going to talk comic books and comic fun stuff. And
we
need
yes,
more
we
people
will.
Listening live. So how can they listen live?
Oh, there are like several numerous ways they can join us. You can call us on your telephones, which you should, because it's kind of costly to keep this number. I'm just saying. You can call us at 215-253-4516.
And?
You can also reach us on Skype. Just add the contact SilverSurfer_forever. Or, if you want to type away, go to the Rant EM Radio Listen Live chat room at www.rantemradio.com/chat-listen-live. And we have our old friend Stanley Kubrick already in there.
Stanley, longtime supporter of the show.
Yes.
Glad you could show up.
Great guy. Lovely guy. Who should, you know, maybe call in right now. That'd be greatly helpful. I'm just saying.
No pressure. No pressure, though.
No pressure. Some pressure, maybe.
So what's been going on in your life?
I went to go see my lady yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, I went and saw Megan, and it was a lovely time. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, did you paint each other's nails and do each other's hair and...
Oh, yeah, of course, totally. And she also did
lots of girl stuff.
Yeah, she also did the ASL Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh, man. I ain't putting ice on me ever, okay?
I donated as well.
For Lou Gehrig's disease. Yeah, everybody's doing it. So.
Did stuff. I'm reading Preacher right now. I'm finally reading Preacher.
Didn't you already have those books like a while ago?
I got them. I just haven't gotten around to reading them because of time and scheduling. And I have time and scheduling. I'm halfway through Preacher.
Okay. Well, the only exciting thing happening to me today was I went to my comic book store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tagged.
What?
By those rebels. Those Mockingjay rebels.
Mockingjay Rebels. Katniss Everdeen in your neck of the woods?
No, but her followers are.
Really?
Yeah.
Those pesky rebels. Wanting freedom, equality.
It's the only way to live.
Yeah, it truly is. Although they should not vandalize local comic book stores. People gotta work there. You know they should vandalize the IRS or the police. Cause fuck the police.
Yeah, they'll get them shot. We don't condone that. We do not
condone screwing with the police.
No, we don't want nobody to get hurt. Okay. Anyway, we hope that you're listening to us and not watching the Made in America concert that's been going on all weekend in Philadelphia.
Like that's been happening?
LA. Yeah. You can watch it online, but for now, we want you to listen to us.
Yes. Us. Because we're here. And we can interact with you, even.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Are you going to be able to interact with people on stage? I don't think so. You get to talk to us. You can tell us if we're wrong, right, or stupid, or just whatever. You can say anything to us.
So anyway, let's get to the box office news. Okay. For the third week, not in a row, but the third weekend, Guardians of the Galaxy is number one. Its weekend total is $16 million. It is now the highest grossing film of 2014. Just the summer, but it surpassed Captain America.
It officially, it seems like the world is definitely hooked on a feeling. And I do not apologize for that.
But worldwide is just doing okay. It's up to $574 million as opposed to those damn Transformers that's over $1 billion.
If you make a like consensual decision to go watch Transformers over Guardians, I don't think we can be friends.
Well, you know, that's the overseas market for you. Turtles sticking around number two, brought in $11 million. It's a domestic total is $162 million. And everything else is just since down to 14. It only brought in $2 million. This grand total is $10 million. Man, that's a flaming bomb.
What is a flaming bomb?
Sin City 2.
All right. You know what? Maybe this will be a wake up call that Frank Miller can't direct the movie.
He didn't direct it for the most part. So I mean, come on now.
Okay, fine. That Frank Miller can't write anymore.
What do you mean? He wrote this a long time ago. It was a hit.
Yeah, but he wrote new material for the movie.
Okay, well, it was okay. I mean,
I've lost all respect for Frank Miller. Look, to me, I still respect Frank Miller's past work. Like, of course, Ronin, Daredevil, and all his, and Batman Year One, Dark Knight Returns, and some of his older 80s stuff, but
you loved All-Star Batman, didn't you?
No, I don't. I hate that book. Ever since The Dark Knight Strikes Again, I've been on a steady decline of not liking Frank Miller. And reading about Holy Terror, seeing that, like, Atop the Fourth Wall episode, where, like, when Kara does the full review of that book, I think I also don't like Frank Miller as a person.
Well, he got, like, I think he was the reason why All-Star Batman got canceled.
That book should have been canceled on merit, on, like, good taste and respect to readers. That's what should have happened. You know, can we start a hashtag, fuck Frank Miller?
Because it was him and Jim Lee doing the art.
Even with Jim Lee's great art, I can't justify buying it. Like, I just can't. It's just awful. That book is awful in so many ways. Just like Frank Miller himself. And it sucks, because you know what? Frank Miller was someone I used to hold up as an inspiration to me in terms of writing. As someone who I thought I could study him. I could look at how he does his work and find just tiny nuggets of that to apply to my own. No, I don't care anymore. Like, I'll reread Dark Knight Strikes Again whenever I feel like it, and Year One and such, but I just don't have the same respect or love or admiration I do of Frank Miller anymore, I think. And that's also stemming from the fact that The Spirit is a terrible movie. Yeah. Ruined The Spirit.
I was about to ask you, what do you want to start with? Movies? TV?
I will... well, one more thing. No, Stanley Kubrick. Holy Terror should not be made into a movie and not released in Saudi Arabia. Even if it is just that way. No. Just no. As to where I want to start...
You read Holy Terror? Because I didn't.
Oh, God. Man. Holy Terror is an awful thing. Okay. I'm glad I didn't pay for it. I'll say that. But... Let's get to TV, because there is
I get a bombshell news for you.
Well, I was going to suggest get to TV.
Wait. It's TV, so I'm going to start us off.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go.
Take a breath.
Okay.
Now, this is wonderful news.
Yes.
Freeburg and Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to reboot Grace American Herald. Those great movie, the great movie makers behind such forces as Meet the Spartans and classics like that are taking over that franchise. That's good news, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. I trust this in their hands.
Yeah, Freeburg and Salsa, I trust it too. It's like... Nah, Phil Lord and Chris Miller is bringing back Grace American Hero. Right? Got the names right?
Yeah, Phil Lord, Chris Miller.
Right, so tell the people about that.
Well, let me bring up the news.
Oh, I thought, you know what, we were supposed to talk about Doctor Who first, right?
I thought you had the link open, is why.
I didn't say I didn't, I thought you wanted to.
Alright, anyway, yes, the Grace American Hero is heading back to television with a pilot from Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and it's being developed by Fox.
Oh, see that? Just when you get some good news, you get bad news.
Yeah, that's the troublesome thing. It's for as an hour-long series. It's based off, of course, the classic ABC series that ran from 1980 to 1983.
You see what's going to happen now? It's not going to last long. Probably going to last less than the original series.
Well, they're developing it along with Tanya McCarron, the daughter of the original series creator, Stephen J. Cannell. And it'll be executive produced alongside Seth Cohen and Rodney Rothman, attached direct. And of course, we all know that classic fam.
I hope that this time we can get a sustainable show. But yeah, Fox, I don't trust Fox with it. I do trust Lord and Miller. You know, these are the guys that brought us the Jump Street movies and, of course, the Lego movie. And they're probably fans of the series, so they'll probably do it correctly. But yeah, I don't trust Fox because they cancel shows too fast, too soon.
You can't trust them. They recently canceled a series before it even went to air.
Which one was that?
Hieroglyphs.
They was the ones that did, they were supposed to do Lock and Key, and that never got to air.
No, they made the pilot, just never, went to air.
I've seen the pilot.
Oh, I haven't. I still haven't read the book.
Yeah, they would show the pilot at convention, so.
Oh. But damn, that explains it.
Which is kind of strange that they would show the pilot to a show that was never going to air, and this was after it was known that it wasn't going to air. And I thought maybe by airing the pilot, I was trying to get some buzz for it, but apparently not. Anyway, we were supposed to talk about Doctor Who first, right?
Nah, it's up to you. We can talk about Doctor Who's or the shit ton of Arrow news there is.
Well, let's get the Doctor Who out the way.
All right, episode 2 of series 8, Into the Dalek.
Yeah, for the most part, usually when there's a new Doctor.
Oh, by the way, spoilers.
No, hold up. I'm not spoiling it yet. Usually when there's a new Doctor, that second episode can be a bit on the slow side. And I thought this one was too. We didn't meet the Doctor's new companion. What's his name?
Danny Pink.
Yes. And the Doctor hasn't met him yet. He seems to be a nice little love interest for Clara.
Clara has, yeah.
Because all the companions have to find love. And so she was macking on him. Man, that girl's just so cute. It's just wrong how cute she is. She really is that cute. Anyway, so of course the Doctor comes across some humans that are worn with the Daleks. And they have a dog that's programming is off. Now it wants to destroy Daleks instead of everything else in the universe because it's because of radiation. It's come to realize that what the Daleks is doing is wrong. But they want to go inside of it because they don't understand that this is a living creature. They think it's a robot. And they shrink the Doctor down to go inside and... What was the point? What were they trying to fix him?
They wanted to repair him.
Right. But by repairing, you make him into...
They wanted to repair him so they could, like, properly... I guess, properly study the Dalek.
Now, this show was heavy on references from a lot of science fiction shows and movies.
This is basically Journey to the Fantastic Voyage episode.
But did you get the Resistance is Futile line?
I got that, yeah.
We know where that's from. That's from the Borg.
Yep, from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
What would happen if the Borg and the Daleks went to war?
A comic where the Daleks met up with the Cybermen.
Well, they would have gone up against someone on a TV show, too.
That's true. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the Borg and Daleks would work up well off each other. Again, the Cybermen seemed like a much better counter to the Borg.
Yeah, because on the TV show, the Cybermen was getting slaughtered because their weapons can't get past the force fields of the Daleks. But the Borg, I think they're a different breed when it comes to... they would find the right frequency to get through those Daleks' force fields.
Because you watch
the Star Trek and they change the frequencies, and after a while, it don't work anymore. And the Borg will easily adapt. So, and what do you think about the episode?
I think it's a better episode than last week. I think it's a much stronger episode in helping to really develop and define Peter Capaldi's 12th Doctor, where he's a little bit darker. He's a little bit more morally ambiguous. I mean, there's a great theme to the episode where he asks, Clara if he's a good man.
And of course, he doesn't care because Clara cares for him.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the great moral ambiguity of even having the audience try to think of an answer if this Doctor is a good man is really great. And the answer Clara gives at the end of the episode is so wonderfully up in the air that it works great. I think Capaldi and Jenna Coleman are working splendidly well off each other. I really think they are. They're wonderful together. I really like them.
So what do you think of how he when they was inside the Dalek?
Oh, I thought that was some great stuff.
No, hold up. And the one guy messed up and the antibodies came. And he had him swallow something, knowing it wasn't going to save him, but told him it would. You think that was wrong of him?
Oh, that, yeah, that was kind of a dick move. But it was a move that helped to advance them into the Dalek and even save them. Because even the doctor said, like, he was already dead. Because Dalek antibodies.
So, what do you rank it?
Rank it what?
Yeah, like, the rating. Give it a rating.
Okay, I give this, like, 4.5 Daleks out of 5.
Okay.
I really did like the use of the Daleks in this one as well. And thought it worked to the way where, they, you know, they felt, like, necessary to the story. And, of course, and I think my favorite moment was the big speech between Doctor and Rusty, the Dalek he names that they go into in the episode towards the end.
And, of course, we again saw Missy.
Yes, Missy makes an uncredited appearance. It was wonderful.
All right, so, what's next? What do you got for
A crap ton of Arrow news. We got Arrow news as far as the eye could see. Because, one, a new trailer came out today showing Oliver and Felicity getting a little bit more intimate. Starting to pop for those Olicity shippers on Tumblr.
Yeah, I don't want them together. I'm sorry.
Why not?
Because it's just, I think it weakens her character to make her want to pine over Oliver.
That is fair. I really don't want to think about them together because I think they work best out, working off of each other in terms of a great, you know, his girl Friday sort of thing.
Okay, what's next?
Well, it seems Liam Neeson wouldn't mind coming back to be Ra's al Ghul for Arrow. Last month at Comic-Con, Arrow fans, you know, of course, went nuts knowing that Ra's al Ghul would be coming to season 3 of the hit CW show. But in a recent video interview of MTV, Neeson said to be willing to reprise the role if he were asked to. I was like, no, I haven't been asked. I haven't at all. But I would do it in a heartbeat if it came my way. Yeah, very much so. And Liam Neeson offered up the following as to the upcoming actor, Odette, that will be playing him. Quote, they have to believe in their philosophy. Ra's al Ghul absolutely believed in what he was doing. He was ultimately saving civilization, and it was quite a good argument when he comes up with. It was quite a good argument he comes up with. Throughout the ages, this fraternity that brought the plague to wipe out a section of mankind because it needed to be regenerated again. Very dangerous, but you have to believe it. So what would you think? Would you like to see Liam Neeson come back onto the role?
Yeah, I think that would be cool, but they have somebody cast to play Ra's al Ghul, and I think he's a good guy, but they could play it off where, all right, the first guy shows up, he claims to be Ra's al Ghul, but it's a swerve.
Oh, like in Batman.
Yeah, and it turns out Liam Neeson's the real Ra's al Ghul.
But again, like in Batman Begins.
Yes. So it's consistent with Ra's al Ghul would do, have somebody else fill in for him and pretend to be Ra's while he stands in the shadows and pulls the strings. So that is possible, but I don't think they would do that. And you should have said something months ago. Don't do that shit now. Yeah, you're late on that. You're late to the party.
Well, in other Arrow casting news, this one is a definite. Arrow cast Cupid. Now, Cupid was created in the Green Arrow Black Canary comic book by current Arrow and Flash creator and executive producer and also writer Andrew Kreisberg, who created the character of Cupid as someone who is who has a dangerously obsessive crush on Green Arrow. Cupid, aka Carrie Cutter, will be played by CW Supernatural alum Amy Gumnick, who played the role of the young Mary Winchester, aka the mother of Dean and Sam Winchester, the demon hunting brothers on the long running hit CW series.
I'm sorry, let's repeat that again. I got distracted for a second.
Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, come on, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to happen, but something... All right, repeat the story for me, please.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, the character of Cupid from the Green Arrow Black Canary comics that was created by Arrow and Flash executive producer, creator, and writer Andrew Kreisberg is coming to season 3 of Arrow, played by Carrie Cutter, who played the Winchester brothers' mother on Supernatural.
Okay, I understand now. See? Didn't mean to make things hard for you.
You need to pay attention. Stop being distracted by all the shiny things.
I wish it was just that simple, but...
Not every quarter needs to be looked at. It just doesn't. But anyway, also coming to Arrow, Felicity's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, see, she needs somebody else to be in love with. So, now, is this a guy made up for the show? And if so, what's he supposed to be?
It seems like he is just made up for the show. Right. Because Felicity I've heard of in the comics. No. This guy...
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll answer the question in a second.
This guy I never have. Ex-Glees alum Nolan Funk... is playing Felicity's ex-boyfriend season 3 and will guest star in episode 5, which is the secret origin of Felicity's smoke.
Now, okay. Question I had was, is he just going to be a guy? And it's the show how he's inferior to Oliver?
He's going to be in flashbacks.
So he's not going to be a hero or a villain or...
Okay, once again, he's playing Felicity's ex-boyfriend in college. That's all we know. I doubt that he'll show up again.
Oh, man, I suck at this. Do you do the who knows trivia questions?
The what?
Who knows who?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, there's a website. It's whoknowswho.tv. Every week on Doctor Who, they have a series of questions that unlocks, okay, during the commercial breaks. And you get to answer questions. And... see, you know, what your knowledge of Doctor Who is. So, the first week, you could get a total of 700 points. I only got 550. This week, you can get 5 points. I only got 360, so I suck at this.
This is quite a random segue that you could have brought up during the Doctor Who talk.
I know. I had to finish my questions.
I got one more bit of Arrow news.
Okay.
Katana's been recasted. Devin Aoki will no longer be able to play the role due to scheduling conflicts. Instead, we have Rila Fukushima, who played Yukio in the recent The Wolverine movie. She has been cast as the DC heroine in the upcoming third season.
That's a conflict of interest.
I do not mind this.
How you gonna play a Marvel hero and a DC hero?
Well, see, it's widely expected she'll appear as Tatsu in the flashbacks and Katana in the present day storyline.
No. That's not what, I'm saying. I'm just joking. But yeah, she seemed like a good choice. as far as Devin Aoki goes, what schedule and conflicts does she have? What's she been in lately? She wasn't in the last Sin City movie.
What are you talking about?
The girl that's being replaced.
Devin Aoki?
Yes.
Well, Sin City.
She wasn't in the last Sin City movie.
I thought she was.
Nope, she got replaced. I don't know if they replaced her because she couldn't do it, or they
She's been in. She was in Too Fast, Too Furious, Debs, DOA, Dead or Alive, and War, and that's all. Right,
what has she done lately?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I ain't seen her in shit.
That's what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying.
Well, again, scheduling conflict came up, so hey, she's out of a role.
Excuse me. So, have you seen the latest? Are we done with TV? Because I don't want to jump all over the place.
Well, hold on. Let me look at what we got here. The Walking Dead has released its first picture of Father Gabriel Stokes, being played by Seth Gillum, in the upcoming fifth season of the hit AMC show.
Right. Now, since I don't read The Walking Dead, is this like a governor type guy?
He is nothing like the governor at all.
Is he a good person?
Well, I don't want to reveal. That's kind of half the fun about.
Tell me. Come on now. Nobody's listening. Just tell me if he's good or bad.
He is. I'm not scared of you. Gabriel Stokes. I'm trying to think, because it's been a while since I read any of his appearances in the book. Gabriel's a priest. He's in this neighborhood that the group comes across after, you know, everything at the prison goes tits up.
Okay.
And they're underway, and the group is underway to Terminus.
Yeah, but they've already arrived to Terminus.
I'm talking in terms of the book.
Right, I'm saying they already arrived to Terminus.
Yeah, so I don't know how different his introduction's going to be from the book.
Okay, in the book, is he a good or bad person?
He's a good person.
Okay, that's all I asked. That's all I asked you.
He's a good person. There are so many differences between the show and the movie. Who the hell knows what this character's gonna be like? In other TV news, Marvel's Agent Carter enlists two new cast members. One, Chad Michael Murray from One Tree Hill and a House of Wax remake, whatever. But to me, Evner Gojai from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse and a very hilarious episode of Community is joining the cast. Kojai will play Agent Daniel Sosa, while Chad Murray will be playing Jack Thompson. I'm more excited for Enver being cast because I think he's a very good actor and possibly was the best thing on Dollhouse next to Elijah Dushku.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about his casting a little bit more than I am of Chad Michael Murray because he's just a meh actor to me. Whatever, I can take it or leave
him. He's a known name that really nobody really cares about.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
you know the name, but nobody gets excited.
No one gives a shit.
I got bad news.
What?
Will Wheaton project got canceled from Sci-Fi Network. Did you watch that show at all?
I watched a couple episodes.
Yeah, it was. He didn't bring nothing new to the table. It was a weekly show where he just made fun of what he called nerd and geek stuff. And you get that every night on E! Entertainment with Talk Soup.
Yeah, okay. It was basically the nerd version of The Soup. And that, you know what? I didn't mind it. It was fine. The show didn't bother me one way or the other.
Right. And Chris Hardwick does a version of that too, one of his shows.
Yeah, that was Web Soup. And then it lasted for a while. And I kind of enjoyed that.
So, I mean, he gave it a shot, but yeah.
Whatever. I'm not crying over it.
Maybe he can go back to Star Trek.
Doubtful. Well, maybe. Unless someone wants to do like a Wesley Crusher series, in which case, hey, I'll totally show run that. But also on TV
Wesley
news,
Crusher traveling through dimensions.
Traveling through time and space. Oh, and speaking of TV shows, Patrick Warburton is set on returning the Tick to television.
Yes. You know what? I have to admit, I know I'm going to lose some cred.
If you say.
No, I worked at night, so I didn't have a chance to ever watch the Tick.
Okay.
So.
Anyway, the classic early 2002 live-action Fox show, which was also based off the animated series of the 90s, and the cult comic series. He's set to revive it as an Amazon pilot. It is the superhero parody might have a new second life again. The live-action Fox show was unjustly canceled, although it had poor ratings. But still, after 9 episodes. Oh, such a good show. Now, there's only one thing I want out of this, and that is we get a live-action version of Chairface Chippendale.
Now, tell me about the Tick. Educate me.
The connection kind of went wonky for a second. What did you say?
I said, educate me about the Tick.
It's an absurdist spoof of comic book superheroes, basically.
Right.
The Tick has always been that way since it was created by Ben Udland back in, 1986.
And what network was that on?
I'm giving you, the original comic origins. But if you want TV, strictly, it spun off from, a comic news strip into its own independent comic books in 1988.
Right.
And then became an animated series on Fox in 1994.
And then it became live action.
Yeah, in 2002.
It was that soon? I didn't know it was that only 2002 was live action. And what network was that on?
Fox.
And this is going to be on Fox too?
No, Amazon.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah. They want this to have a chance of surviving.
Speaking of.
So yeah.
Like Amazon. When is Community coming back on?
That's Yahoo.
I know that. I'm saying, when is that scheduled to start?
I don't know. No idea. And the last bit of TV news, Brian Fuller promises that the scope of American Gods on Starz will be that of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because we need more Game of Thrones type shows on TV.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, we can move on to print news real quick. There's only a couple of things to bring up about that.
Well, let me start off with, if you've been following Original Sin, this is the last storyline for Nick Fury, where they off him for good in the Marvel Universe. And you can't talk about Nick Fury without his right man hand. Did I say that right?
The what?
His right hand man.
Right hand man, or second in command, yeah.
Dumb Dugan. Now, Fury's been around since World War II, so has Dugan. And, you know, we all know that Fury stayed young because he was taking the Infinity Formula. But it was never really clear how Dugan kind of was still alive after all this time. Like, he had aged compared to Nick, but he was still around. And without Nick Fury, there's no point in having Dum Dum Dugan. So apparently, in Original Sins, is this too loud?
Yeah, it's still going.
Okay. The companion book, Original Sins, apparently they revealed that this whole time, Dum Dum Dugan was really a life model decoy. And he's been several life model decoys. And he died a long time ago on a mission with Nick Fury. And Nick Fury kept him alive by making life model decoys of him. That Dugan didn't even know he was a life model decoy. But if you're getting rid of Nick Fury, then there's no point in having Dugan around. And all the rest of the Howling Commandos are dead. They've all been killed off. They got killed off in Secret Warriors. Did you ever read that book?
Secret Warriors?
Yes.
I read a couple issues.
But you didn't read the whole thing.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they got slaughtered near the end of that series. They tried to take out, wasn't Hydra, it was the other group they were dealing with. I'm blanking. But anyway, they got set up, and they went into a trap, and everybody died except, of course, Nick and Dum Dum, and you know, it was them getting rid of that old guard, and it was written by Hickman, and, you know, most of them wouldn't be around today anyway if there's no Nick Fury, so it looks like they're wiping the board clean, and now it's just a question of Nick Fury biting the dust. What's your thoughts on this?
This is stupid.
Why you say that?
Because Dum Dum Dugan's one of my absolute favorite characters.
Yeah, but what use do you have of him if Nick Fury's not around?
Okay, you know
what? What else are you going to do?
Dum Dum Dugan is so not defined by being around Nick Fury.
Yes, he is.
He is his own awesome character.
Okay, what can you use him? What in what terms can you use him?
He is the leader of the damn Howling Commandos.
They're dead.
Okay, can I finish? He is an excellent marksman. He is fine on his own.
What can you use him for?
You can use him for his own spy adventures. You could use him. He could be his own one-man team.
Dum Dum is muscle. He's not a spy like that. He's not the one to go undercover or disguise or. He's muscle. He's always been muscle. Okay. He's second in command. That's his job. Okay. He's Spock. He has to go too. It's sad. I think they should. It's sad that they're writing this in a book that probably half the people aren't even reading. And they probably could have wrote that in their regular Original Sins. I mean, because that book came out, and I didn't know this happened because I'm not reading the Original Sins. I mean, I found the artwork to not be good, and you know, I didn't care about some of the storylines going on in there, so. And up until this point, none of it had to do with what was going on in the regular series. So I didn't see the point. So that's why I think they're wrong. They're wrong in putting it in this book that nobody's reading. Okay?
I still think it's stupid. Just like unceremoniously have that. Just to think that all those cool moments and stories over these past few years that have involved Dum Dum Dugan. It wasn't actually Dum Dum Dugan, but a life model decoy. That to me just spits in the face of anyone who cares for Dum Dum Dugan, like myself.
So why would he still be alive after all this time and not be like 105?
You know what? Just honestly, I don't die of natural causes or whatever. Just don't do something like this.
But But if he if he died of natural causes, right?
Yeah.
Were you talking about died of natural causes like in this time or back in the day?
This time or back in the day. Okay, or, you know, go out like guns a-blazing.
But still, okay, let's assume Dugan during World War II was maybe late 20s, early 30s, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, how old would he be now?
I don't know, 72, 90.
Okay, so at 90, you think he's still out there fighting a good fight and doing spy stuff and running SHIELD?
Could be. Who knows? I mean, again, I'm just pissed that, again, all these cool moments that involved Dum Dum Dugan over the years, it's not actually Dum Dum Dugan.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. Anyway, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. Oh, you know what? We forgot something else about Doctor Who from last week.
What?
The people being upset over Madame Bastra and Jenny's.
I ignore it because that's not really news. That's just a bunch of That's just stupid. That's not really news to me. People being upset about that.
Their kiss, which was really them sharing air, but
see, exactly. Again, that's not really news.
How many times have Jack Harkness kissed people on Doctor Who? Plenty of times, correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is not the first time two same-sex people have kissed on that show. So why the big deal now?
I don't know. Again, that's why I don't consider this news, because it's stupid or important.
It's not news. We're having a discussion about
it. I don't even really feel like discussing it, because there's not really much to discuss. They kissed, but they kissed, but it was really, as you said, really them sharing air to survive. And
it was it did look intimate, though.
Well, they're married.
Right. I understand that.
Again, this is...
Jenny is cute.
Yes, she is. But, again, this is stupid to have a conversation...
And she can kick
this
ass.
This is stupid to have a discussion about, because there's nothing really upsetting about this. This is just a bunch of overly conservative, like, people being upset. It's like, these women are kissing in front of our children. Oh, no, they're going to turn our children into homosexuals. Oh, no! Calm the fuck down. Your children are going to turn gay because of Doctor Who. Get your panties untwisted.
They could. But no.
No, they couldn't.
No, listen. See, the thing is,
I watched Glee now.
Now, in its eighth season, okay? And it's 51st or 52nd year, however you want to look at it. Doctor Who is bigger than ever. So, of course, this stuff is going to get more noticed from back in 2005, 2006, when Jack kissed a few people and nobody gave a damn.
I don't get why suddenly it's apparently a thing now.
And more people watched that. That was the most watched Doctor Who in the history of that show last week. Okay, every time there's a regeneration or a new season, more and more people jump on the bandwagon, which means I have to jump off the bandwagon at this point. It was cool when I was the only one watching Doctor Who. But now too many people are into it. And I don't want to be with the cool crowd. I want to be a trendsetter. I don't want to be with the rest of the people. It's no longer fun when everybody's into Doctor Who now. I don't like it.
So, hey, who's the hipster here? We're Surfer.
I'm not a hipster, okay? What'd I tell you about trying to label me? You know, it's pretty
simple. Your name is a label, isn't it?
They're gonna ruin what Doctor Who's all about with this fandom. People waiting in line for days to see these actors show up. No, it's not cool anymore. Nah, I'm just kidding, but,
this really isn't worth talking about, because, again, it was just a small, small moment of the episode.
Yeah, but it was sexy.
Yeah, okay, but again, it's nothing really worth to talk about.
Nah, I mean, it was news. It was disgusting, okay? You don't have to get upset about it. I mean,
well, I'm just saying, to the people who are overreacting about this, get over yourselves, please, and quickly.
You know,
seriously, you got way better things to do.
Another spot for Big Hero 6 came out this week, but these teasers, man, they're getting on my nerves. Because we still haven't seen a trailer that has any idea of what the actual story's about. I mean, I get the gist of the story, you know. Some kids get together to form a group because something's not right in the world, but we're not really seeing enough in these quick trailers to really tell us what the story is. And Disney, I mean, they're pushing this movie so hard. Like, you go to the movies and the theaters all wear shirts that have Big Hero 6 on there. So they're thinking that this could be bigger than Frozen. And that's banking a lot. To think that this movie may surpass Frozen.
I don't know.
Well, listen, Frozen is like a top 5 movie of all time now, top 5 or 6. So that's a lot to surpass Frozen, which already is one of the biggest movies of all time. And Disney think this is the one, and nobody thought Frozen was going to be as big as it turned out to be. You did see Frozen, right?
No, I'm the one guy.
You still
in the
haven't
world
seen Frozen yet?
I'm the one. No, of course I've seen Frozen.
Oh, okay. I thought you was holding out.
I'm joking. I'm the one guy in the world who has not seen Frozen.
Did you see the sing-along version?
No, I've only watched the few. The only version I've watched is just Frozen. I've seen it about 3 times.
Well, you got Stars?
No, I don't have Stars. I can't afford it.
Oh, because I think you can watch the sing-along version and the regular version.
Well, I can't really afford it.
Well, so, you know somebody with cable?
You know I have DirecTV. Look, I don't have that many friends here in Nashville
now. I'm saying, if you know somebody with cable and they have Stars, get their password. You can watch Stars Go.
Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. This is not I do not care to see the sing-along version of Frozen. It's just whatever.
Do you want to build a snowman? Is that the song?
Do you want to build a snowman? Doesn't have to be a snowman.
Sorry, had to clear my throat.
But now the other print news, because there's a couple original graphic novels coming out. One from a source you would think, but the other, boom! Surprise out of nowhere! Bruce Springsteen's doing an original graphic novel.
The Boss.
Yes, the Boss himself from New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen, is releasing an original graphic novel, Outlaw Pete.
Okay, he's just writing it, or is he drawing it too?
He's writing it. It's Outlaw Pete is set to be released on November 4th, and the book is based off the song of the same name. And the book is described as such. The book is loosely based on Springsteen's song of the same name and inspired by the 1950s children's book, Brave Cowboy Bill. According to its Amazon page, the book is about a modern legend of a criminal who starts out in diapers and confronts the roughest edges of adulthood. Springsteen, on the other hand, said in a statement, quote, Outlaw Pete is essentially the story of a man trying to outlive and outrun his sin.
I don't think anybody really cares about Bruce Springsteen's doing a comic book. I mean, that's not to say whether it's going to be good or bad, but I think all the fans of his music is not going to necessarily run out and read a comic book based on him, what he's putting out there. But we'll see. I could be wrong.
Well, yeah, the book, again, the book is available for pre-order on right now on Amazon. $12.55 for the hardcover, $10.99 for the Kindle edition. The other one coming out with an original.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Stanley Kubrick says Frozen sounds awful. Man, you have no heart. You have no heart, Stanley. I'm tempted to call you on Skype and tell you this. Person. Anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes. But yeah, for the other one, which does seem more likely, is John Carpenter's Asylum releasing a graphic novel, John Carpenter's Asylum, an original graphic novel being released at New York City Comic Con. It is being published by Storm King Comics. A 6-issue horror comic by John Carpenter will be happening. There will be 3 versions of the book, including a limited run collector's edition that will only be available through the publisher, a hardcover edition in time for the holidays, and of course a softcover version that will hit stores in October. Writer-publisher, movie producer Sandy King Carpenter and renowned artist Leo Manco will be on hand at Comic Con for signings at booth number 2029, and the soft cover will go for $19.99. November hardcover release will go for $35, and the limited edition version will go for an even $100. It'll be at a full. The NYCC release will go for a full 200 pages, which will contain the main 144. Books and a few more issued pages of exclusive content. The book itself is about a war coming to the City of Angels. Of course, God's involved, God's warrior, supernatural. What do you think about this John Carpenter book?
Well, you know how I feel about the horror stuff. Too scary for me. But probably a quality read. John Carpenter involved with it. So speaking of John Carpenter, we got some news about that a little bit later in the show. But we're sticking to print right now. So, did we talk about the Superman book?
No.
Well, sorry. Action Comic number 1. Okay. Sold for $3.2 million recently in auction. Now, this was a CGI graded book. And it got a 9.0 grade rating, which is fantastic for a book that old. I mean, this book is barely looked at. It's probably lost anything because of the paper, you know, being around for so long. But the one to get a 9, I mean, I've had books graded that I've read and got an 8. And if you want a book to get a high rating, you have to buy the book, don't read it, take it straight over to the table, and most likely the highest you get is a 9.8. Like a 10 is very rare. But a book that old to get a 9 is... See, that's, you know what? You know how I would make money? How I can make myself rich? See, if I had a time machine, I would get me a nice crisp dollar bill from the 30s and buy 10 copies of Action Comic number 1. Okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, if I brought it through time, I don't think anybody would believe it's the real thing, because the paper wouldn't fade enough or whatever. So what I would do is find a place that I can bury the books for the amount of time it's going to take me to get back to the present. Then get the books out, get them graded, sell them off, I'd be rich in no time. And, $3 million. This would be the highest comic book as far as value out there. Fantastic, right? Or you don't care?
It'd be awesome. I'd love to get rich off of that.
No, I'm saying, dude, you don't care about the story.
I do. No, this is a story relevant to it. It involves comic books. It involves one of the best.
All right, what do you think about it? We're going to movies, right?
Yeah, let's go to movies.
What do you think about Hawkeye's new costume for Avengers Age of Ultron?
It's pretty goddamn awesome.
It looks like it's looks like the kind of looks like the old Hawkeye purple suit without the purple. You think so? Or am I wrong?
It could be. Again, from what we've seen, I like the way it looks. I think it's definitely an upgrade.
Mm-hmm. And of course, everybody's favorite amphibian is getting a toy, which is, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy. Toy line is bringing out Howard the Duck for all you duckheads. And yeah, there will be a new Howard the Duck movie in no time.
Oh no, Marvel! Just because he appeared
there's a lot of Howard the Duck fans out there.
Well, but just because he showed up in the Guardians Act does not automatically guarantee.
No, I didn't say that, but I think eventually it'll come to it. And people, you know, that Howard the Duck movie left a bad taste in the fans' mouth. I don't know what George Lucas was thinking when he made that movie.
Money, 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 money.
It is funny that George Lucas did a Marvel property, and now George Lucas's property and Marvel is all owned by Disney. So George Lucas probably could direct another Howard the Duck movie if he wanted to. That's something to keep you up at night thinking about. Yes? No?
Yeah, I'm not that big a fan of Howard the Duck. I think the character's fine. Some of the stuff I've read of him is pretty entertaining. But no, I'm not gonna go one way or the other if there's anything more with him.
This is kind of not comic book related, other than the person. But to picture out Henry Cavill in his suit from The Man Called Uncle. You excited for that movie at all?
I will admit, for you know how big of espionage fan I am, right?
No, but I know now.
Really? Because I'm the one that's been going on and on about James Bond. Okay, anyway.
I have a lot of like James Bond,
The Man from Uncle's one of the few spy things I haven't checked out.
It's just him in a suit, you know. Not much as far as what's going on, but you know, hey, he showed up in the Superman suit and people freaked out over that too. So they got two big movies coming out, two big ones,
I'll say.
Hey, what's next? Sorry, there was something else.
One more TV thing we forgot to mention.
We forgot a print thing, too, but go ahead with your TV story.
Donald Glover's going to be voicing Miles Morales on Ultimate Spider-Man.
No, you got the name wrong. You got the name wrong.
What?
It's Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors.
Oh, whatever.
No, that's the name of the show.
Wait, this...
And it came back on this morning.
There's a spinoff?
No, it's not a spinoff. It's the name of the show.
It's the same show.
Yes, it's Spider-Man and his...
And, okay, you know how much I do not care for the Ultimate Spider-Man show, so why would I care?
It's Ultimate Spider-Man and his friends, Iron Fist, Power Man, Tiger, Nova. And in this episode, the Avengers had Spider-Man join the team. And I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw half of it. And he's not too happy that he's not getting a lot of privacy with the Avengers. The Hulk busts his door down because he wants to go eat. And the Hulk likes Spider-Man because the Hulk has somewhat of intelligence because of Spider-Man. You didn't know that, did you?
Oh, that's because I'm not watching many of the
Marvel
animated series, because they're not really up to quality for me.
Yeah, like the few times the Hulk showed up on Spider-Man, you know, they thought he was bad, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. came up with a way to kind of make him smarter, and it kind of worked and it kind of didn't, but at the end of the episode, he was smart enough that he could beat a Hulk and help people. Of course, that's how you get Hulk and the Agents of Smash, and of course, that's why he's an Avenger, too. So, it's all because of Spider-Man. And, of course, Loki wants to take revenge on Spider-Man and the Avengers, because Loki's been foiled by Spider-Man quite a few times.
Quite a few. I guess. I'm not really watching the Marvel animated series, because they're just not that entertaining now.
Yeah, it was, from what I saw, there was a lot of silliness. Print news, and this should be no surprise to anybody, but come May 2015, most of the Avengers books will probably be rebooted with a number one and a new team. And what a coincidence. Avengers Age of Ultron will be coming out at that time, too. So, all these current storylines will come to an end come probably March or April of next year. And I don't know if Hickman's leaving the Avengers or he's just going to continue with it. It would be in line with what Hickman does, which is do 2 or 3 years and then do a new book. And you're not reading the Avengers at all, are you?
Nah, I've kind of dropped off of that book because I'm just finding out I'm not that big a fan of what Hickman's doing right now with Avengers.
You bite your tongue, man. But lose your job.
Hey, I like Hickman just fine. I'm just not really feeling his Avengers.
You know, in New Avengers, you know, they were blowing up Earth in order to save theirs. And they had a falling out because the Black Panther was supposed to destroy the last Earth. And he, for some reason, couldn't. And they was like, give me that shit. He blew it up. And Black Panther and Namor are mortal enemies. The Black Panther is sworn to kill Namor before what he did to Wakanda during Avengers versus X-Men. Right? And, yeah. Of course, Wakanda's at war with Atlantis. So, just after the Illuminati broke up, another incursion came, so they had 12 hours to live, and everybody was just kissing their loved ones, thinking this was it. And then when the time came, nothing happened, and they got together and wondered why, and wondered was they blowing up plans for nothing. Well, it turned out that Namor released Thanos and his crew, along with a few other baddies, and now they're blowing up Earth. So that can't be good for the Illuminati. And then on top of that, Captain America is about to bring the entire Avengers team to stop the Illuminati, because he remembered what they did to him and what they're probably doing, and he feels he has to stop them no matter what. And this is the biggest and strongest Avengers team ever assembled. So everything's about to jump forward 8 months, because time's about to run out for everybody. And we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah. I'm just... Man. I fell off the Avengers title. The only one I care to...
You don't understand the genius.
I'm so sorry. It's just not... I'm so sorry. I'm just not getting personally invested in this. How dare I have an opinion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not supposed to have an opinion.
I'm sorry, the only two Avengers books I'm really thinking of keeping up with is Secret Avengers and Uncanny.
And also, speaking of books, did you know that Lois Lane is coming out with a YA novel?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. Lois Lane, she lost a man, but she's coming out with a new novel. You think that? Do you think the kids will read it, or they don't care?
I don't know. See, sounds in there. Why don't you give me more details about it?
I got to do all the work. Hold on. You're making my job hard, man. You're supposed to make my life easy. Okay.
Suck it.
Okay. Says, according to the Hollywood Reporter, the novel, which will be written by Wendela Bond and published by Switch Press in association with DC Comics, will imagine Lois as a teenager newly arrived in Metropolis, where trouble was afoot on her new high school and friends with the screen name Smallville Guy, who might be more than a friend. So basically, it's Lois Lane and a Veronica Mars-esque plot.
Oh, okay. That, okay, like now you got my attention.
Oh, you softy.
Oh, yo, Veronica Mars. Veronica Mars.
You care about Lois Lane, but not... You don't care about Lois Lane, but you care about Veronica Mars.
Okay, I love Lois Lane. She's one of my absolute favorite characters, but you say a Veronica Mars type, you know, S.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
I shouldn't have read this to you.
Yeah, you should have. Look, hey, having a Veronica Mars, like, you know, setting to it, yeah, you know what? I'll totally check that out. Because Veronica Mars is great. And Lois Lane's great. And, like, having, like, you know, something, like, that could combine the two, yeah, I'm interested in it. Sorry that the news hit, that something about this has changed my opinion. Like, I suddenly have an opinion about what I think about Jonathan Hickman's Avengers. How dare I misspeak in the name of Hickman. Even though God's Not Dead, it's not at all a good read.
God's Not Dead, that's a Hickman book, right?
Oh, and no, God Is Dead.
God Is Dead. He wrote a book, he's writing a book, God Is Dead. A movie came out, God Is Not Dead.
Yeah, God's Not Dead is just a stupid Christian propaganda film with the dumb...
But I'm just saying, what is the coincidence that titles like this have come out in the same year?
I don't know. Purely coincidental.
Yeah, this...
Because God Is Dead came out way before that movie came out.
Now, Netflix CEO says the Daredevil TV series will go darker than the movie. And the costume's going to be more down to earth. So I guess they're not going with leather. But you think they're going to go with the traditional costume? They're going to...
I don't know. I mean, they could. I do like the idea of more down to earth Daredevil costume. I don't mind it.
I thought they was trying to lighten Daredevil up a bit.
Well, if they want to go with what Mark Waid's doing, then yeah, that would be...
Yeah, because everybody, ever since Frank Miller did, everybody was trying to make him darker and darker.
I don't mind the darker Daredevil because they make it work. And Ed Brubaker and Brian Michael Bendis have certainly made it work.
Yeah, putting him in jail and stuff. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it's a great run.
Yeah, but what about Shadowland?
What, you mean the Andy Diggle stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care for Andy Diggle's part. But whatever.
Andy Diggle's dead.
Well, Andy Diggle is still alive.
No, he's dead on Smallville. I mean, not Small Arrow.
Diggle is alive. How's he dead on Arrow?
Well, John Diggle's brother name was Andy, and he was killed.
Okay.
Anyway, we did talk about the sexual abuse case being dropped by Bryan Singer already, right?
No.
Yes, the accuser drops a sexual lawsuit against X-Men director Bryan Singer, so you get a new X-Men movie with Bryan Singer. That'll be good, right?
Oh, yeah. Days of Future Past is still excellent. And I have one last bit of news story that should close out the show.
No, we got some more than the one bit. You weren't paying attention. Did you talk about Sub Ben Kingsley's?
No.
you know, he's saying that he could actually still play the Mandarin, the real Mandarin. But, you know, Marvel has hinted that there's a real Mandarin out there. If you've seen All Hail the King, but they haven't shown him yet. And I don't know if they ever will show him. And then, are you talking about the Star Wars news?
Oh, yeah. Star Wars has resumed production after Harrison Ford's injury.
Yeah, he's better now. So, is he better?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so. Yeah, he is. Why else would they... I doubt they'd resume if he still wasn't better.
He could be close. And
either way, they're back to filming, so...
Are you talking about the Joaquin Phoenix news?
That's the bit I wanted to close on.
Okay, but there's more stuff to close than that. But
Brooklyn Brewery wants to open a superhero-themed bar, a superhero-themed beer for New York Comic Con.
Yeah, you know, New York is doing a whole super a superhero week for Comic Con, and they're coming out with superhero beer. Brooklyn Brewery is going to brew a superhero themed beer. I'm not going to be able to taste it because I'm going to be in and out of New York all through the convention, and I'm not going to have time to be around the city, unfortunately. But and what do you think about the new Batman roller coaster?
I'm possibly not going to get to ride it. So, hey, sounds cool. I'm just not. I doubt I'll be able to ride it.
Now, down in Texas, Six Flags is going to open a 4D Batman roller coaster. So, what you do is you sit in your seat, and the roller coaster goes all kinds of directions, and your chair rotates as the roller coaster goes around the track, so it can hang from below. Go upside down, and as you're going around the loops, your chair is spinning to keep you spinning with it. And I guess it's opening next year, right? Because this year is almost over.
Yeah, next year.
And they're going to open up, they're going to make some new rides too, based on Joker and Harley Quinn. Six Flags announcing Justice League Joker and Harley Quinn rides. So that's three new rides.
Charlie Hunnam is being fought as the top choice for the Escape from New York remake.
Yes, Snake Plissken. I don't know if they should remake it. I think they should just do a new story.
That's a good idea.
Because you're never going to... Listen. This could be a great movie. The fans are not going to accept it because it's a remake. And either you're going to shoot what you did already, which is going to look probably a bit outdated, or you're going to change things and people are going to be upset that you changed things. I think Charlie Hunnam could play a good... He might be a good Snake Plissken if you get the right director. But, I mean, yeah, people want to see more Snake Plissken. But I don't think they should remake Escape from New York. I mean, at the time Escape from New York was made, New York wasn't the safest city to walk around in. So it wasn't far-fetched to think, well, maybe we could just make the city into one big prison and keep all the undesirables trapped on Manhattan Island. Now, nobody would buy that today. So... Come up with something new. This is my thoughts. What are your thoughts on it?
Whatever. I mean, I love the original movie. It would be better if they could think of an original story for it. Like, think of something new. But hey, it seemed like inevitable they would get around to thinking of a remake for Escape from New York, so I'm kind of not surprised.
Yeah, I think it'll be. I do.
I'm not going to say that. Anything could be, like anything, it could go either way, so.
No, listen, I'm telling you, look, fans, you know, they want to hold on to what they latched on to when they were younger, and it, you know, left an impression on them. which is why you have so many fans of the Turtles not accepting this last movie when it's not that bad of a movie. But they saw the original when they was children, and so this is an abomination.
I'm not, I don't have that mindset. I mean, yeah, I still love the original, but I'm not going to say, oh, it's abomination because they're going to remake it. That's a stupid way of thinking.
Yeah, but people cannot help themselves.
Well, those people need to, like, kind of just... I'm all for opinions, but again, you got to be more open, please.
It's human nature.
I'm sick of that pessimism. Just say on.
And hold on, there's something else. Oh, so what'd you think of the Doctor Doom picture from the Fantastic Four movie?
I really don't have an opinion, because guess what? That is most likely a pre-CGI finished rendering look at him.
But from what you saw, do you think they're going in the right direction with his look?
The look is different. I mean, I do prefer the original look, because Doctor Doom is the best Marvel villain to me. Hell, possibly the best villain over Joker in some ways, but...
Well,
it's just whatever. It's not even that good a look. It's kind of blurry. That's, you know, even with the up close one. So I honestly have nothing to say about it.
Well, Doom is, see, what makes Doom such a fit all villain is, unlike the Joker, okay, what can he really do against somebody like Superman or somebody of a high power level? He can't do anything. And like, if Batman stopped messing around and would just drop the Joker off a building, it would be his life would be a lot easier. But of course, that's not what Batman does. He doesn't kill, and that's understandable. You know, that's what makes him the good guy, and that's fine. But with Doom, you know, whether he's going up against the Fantastic Four or the Avengers or Spider-Man, Daredevil, he's a threat to all these people because he, you know, he's the smartest guy in the room for the most part. You know, a few people are smarter than him. And then, you know, with his armor, he's a handful. So, of course, if he comes up against Spider-Man, you know, Spider-Man is a little bit out of his depth. You know, Spider-Man can find a way to maybe stop
him.
Stop him. Okay.
Well, yeah, but again, as
same
for
thing
this
with
look,
Daredevil. But I'm just saying.
As for this look, I really have no opinion of it, honestly. Because again, it's.
No, you're saying he's the best. He's
Marvel
better than,
villain,
right? Because you can use him in so many different scenarios against these heroes. That's why Doom is the number one villain. There are villains that are way more powerful than him, but. You know, you put them in the room with a Daredevil, and it's no contest. Daredevil can't do anything. At least Daredevil can find a way to, you know, stop Doom in the end, if he's lucky. But still, he's a handful for whoever he deals with. I mean, even Thor's had like super battles with him. So we'll see how he does in how they do him in the movie. You know.
Yeah.
I hope they're not tying in his origin to the Fantastic Four getting their powers like they did in the original. That's the one thing I didn't really care about the first Fantastic Four. It's like you didn't have to tie in his origin with theirs, and that's where a lot of movies make the mistake of.
Like, it just depends on how well you do it. I don't mind that being done. It just depends on how well you execute it.
You do an origin story of the hero. You don't have to simultaneously do a villain origin story, too.
Well, again, to me, that's I'm fine with it. It's just about execution.
I never did like that. I mean, and you know, originally, when you read comic books and a villain showed up for the first time, they just showed up, and you took care of them. You didn't have to go through why they became a villain. And I think that distracts from what the hero's origin when you do that. So that's just my opinion. A new trailer for The Scribbler starring Katie Cassidy is out.
What? What?
The Scribbler.
I have no idea what that is.
You know Katie Cassidy, right?
Yeah, I know. She's on Arrow. Is that why this is a story? Because it's...
No, her? It's based on a graphic novel.
I never heard of this.
Me either, but it's coming out on demand, so... in iTunes on September 19th.
Okay.
The movie follows Suki, a young woman confronting her destructive mental illness using a sesame burn, experimental machine designed to eliminate multiple personalities. The closer Suki becomes to being cured, she's haunted by a thought. What if the last unwanted identity turns out to be her? So.
Eh, sounds interesting enough.
And Michelle Trachtenberg is in it too.
I know you okay.
Like Billy Campbell, Alicia Dushku. Elijah Dushku, yeah, sorry. Sasha Gray. You know Sasha Gray?
Yes.
You wouldn't know it, wouldn't you? Shame on
Porn.
You.
Porn!
Shame on you watching that stuff.
How do you know her? Hmm?
I didn't say I knew her. Ah, see? I didn't say I knew her. Didn't say that at all. You know, the Wizard World tours have been doing Marvel exclusive books for those that buy VIP. And for the Nashville, they're coming up with an exclusive Thor issue 25 variant cover. I know you don't care about that because you don't go to the Wizard Worlds, so, but hey, maybe one day a Wizard World come to your neck of the woods.
Come to Arkansas?
Yes.
Maybe. I'd be lucky.
Yeah, you would be. Let's see. Have we touched on everything?
The last bit of news is Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Joaquin Phoenix is apparently, reportedly, in the final talks to become Doctor Strange.
Yeah, so how do you feel about that?
Right, I like this just fine. I think he'd be a good... I think Joaquin Phoenix, it could be totally weird and out there and strange enough to play a character such as weird and out there and strange as Doctor Strange. I think this is a good fit.
How many movies you think he'll do?
I don't know. Five?
You think he would sign a five-picture deal?
You asked for a guess, and I'm giving you a guess.
No, I'm just saying. Look. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just asking. You think he would do a five-picture deal?
I don't know. That's just my estimate.
Okay. Because it doesn't seem like the type that would do that many movies. But I could be wrong. You know, they might put the right money. And then what if he flips out like he did and do that, act like he wants to get back into rapping again?
Eh.
All right, so that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, folks, thanks for listening to us, and we want to talk about other fine shows here on Rant EM Radio. Starting with Tuesday, Double A brings you the Rant every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. with his co-host Tony C. We go over all the wrestling news and recap Raw. Wednesday night is the Phil and Dave Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You know, I have to listen to this show. They talked about GLOW last Wednesday, so I really got to listen to that when I get a chance before the next show, which is this coming Wednesday. Friday is, of course, you get the Lex Experience podcast. Saturday night, you get Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan and Rage, and they let you talk everything and wrestling. And there's one wild ride, especially with Rage in the house. And him and his Cena derangement, but I won't take pot shots at him. No, I'm sorry. And we're here every Sunday, 5 p.m. unfortunately, because 6 p.m. would be better, but you know.
You need to get over it.
I'm never going to get over it. For the What Are You Eating comic book show, And of course, we do have pay-per-views coming up soon. We have the
Night Champions. Night
Champions in a couple weeks, which will have pre and post game coverage. And Jordan, guess what?
What?
You worked so hard this summer. I'm giving you next week off.
Okay.
And if that works out, I might give you another weekend off.
I don't know where this is going.
You have off next weekend?
We'll talk about this off mic.
What's there to talk about?
Are we seriously not doing a show next week?
Yeah, I just gave you off.
Okay.
If that works out, I'm going to give you another week off.
How many more times will you get me off?
Well, I'm just saying, if next week works out fine, then...
Damn it, you're not going for the joke.
Maybe. You get another week off. And no, I'm not getting you off like that, you nasty... Well, who knows? Maybe we'll do a Friday show. Haven't done one of those in a long time.
No, around WrestleMania is when we last had one.
I have to talk to the man who's not my boss, Double A, about it. But, yeah, no show next week.
All right. Week off, everybody.
You know, so enjoy your holiday. I'm giving it to you next weekend. You know, spend it with your woman. Spend it with your family. Cook a turkey or something. That's what you do for holidays, right? Cook turkeys?
Around one, particularly in November.
Hey, see, that's the thing. You know, the turkeys, they get this onslaught of being slaughtered around things. You should be killing them all year round.
All right, remember, people. Go kill turkeys, endorsed by the What Are You Reading comic book show.
So, anyway, yeah, and, of course, follow us on Facebook at the What Are You Reading comic book show page.
I am at Joe Woco, JOWOCO. What Are You Reading comic book show has a Facebook page. Go there, like us.
You can follow me on Twitter at SilverSurfer4, FOR.
Yes, of course, and of course, this and many other fine rant shows are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to it, and if you're on iTunes, please subscribe to Rant and rate 5 stars and leave a review. That helps us out.
And I'm going to make a prediction now before we go.
Uh-huh.
I think Marvel's going to hire Justin Bieber to play a comic book character.
Go on.
No, that's the prediction.
Oh, okay.
They're going to hire him to play a comic book character. Watch. The Biebs. And it's going to be the biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, no, it's not. It will not be the greatest movie ever.
Yeah, well, because the kids love the Biebs. And his gangster ways.
I mean, more people hate Bieber. No, because it's apparent he's a douche.
No, you don't. What did he ever do to be labeled a douche?
All the reckless driving for neighborhoods. Well, pissing in a janitor's bucket.
That's just kids being kids. Everybody does that.
Oh, he should know better.
Yeah, screw him. Send him. Deport him back to Canada. Anyway,
I think that's it. So yeah. I will end by saying good night, everybody.
Yeah, thanks again for listening. Peace.